It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. Only stars are closer, only stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. Only stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
On this edition, Diana Inson, author of Traveling Spirit, will be joining me live in the studio. I'm Richard Brendan, and the conversation begins now. I want to thank you for joining us today. Diana Inson has explored Buddhist meditation, shamanism, Hinduism, goddess rituals, Unitarian Universalism, science of mind, 12-step programs, and American Indian spiritual traditions. She's participated in wisdom circles and a vision quest. She's certified in Reiki 3 and practices Tai Chi, Qigong, and yoga. With community support, she constructed a permanent outdoor labyrinth, and she's also taken a nonviolent communication workshop and dream workshop. Diana is the recipient of an Arts in Indiana grant for a project that featured veteran interviews and a Spirit in Place public program, Voices of Hope, Veteran Stories of Faith and Healing. Born in Florida, grown up in Michigan, and graduated from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, with a BA in English and Wayne State University Law School, she lives now in Indiana with her husband and two daughters. She enjoys the sunshine and hikes. Nature is her favorite wisdom source, and I can vouch that she is an amazing wordsmith. It's a joy to have her with us today. Diana Inson, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Knowing you and also having read your book before, this is a perfect fit for a show that's all about bringing love to life. And also because of what's happened lately in Paris, that whole situation is still unfolding. We don't know yet what's going to be happening over in Europe. It seemed very appropriate given what your book is about. So first of all, I want to thank you for coming into the studio and being willing to share a part of your journey and some of the wisdom that you've gleaned over the years.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. As I said in the intro, the book is Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. I sometimes like to ask authors, where did the title come from? How did you come up with Traveling Spirit?
Well, on my spiritual path, I've visited a lot of different religious faiths and practices, and so Traveling Spirit, in part, is my journey of traveling to different healing modalities and faith practices. And then the Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey is taking those practices and applying them in our daily life.
Yeah. I learned more about you having read this book, especially in the very beginning. So can you start sharing a little bit about your spiritual journey and some of the events in your life that happened, even as a child, that really helped lead you to where you are right now?
Well, I would say the book itself, obviously our spiritual journeys start from day one and continue until we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But the awareness of the spiritual journey for me started with my father's death. That was in 99.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a car accident. He and a friend were leaving the bar in the middle of the day and had a head-on collision with another vehicle, and they were both killed. So my father, I had not known him. He left when I was four. That was during the Vietnam conflict. And so he had been in Vietnam, and my parents divorced. And then he went back as a civilian to live in Vietnam and had a family there. So when I got the call about his death, you know, I was in my 30s. And what that did is I think it opened up a place in me I didn't even know was there, that grief and that hurt. Mm-hmm. I think I had put my father and maybe in a corner in my mind, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. as a non-entity. I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care for me. He wasn't there. He's not my father. You know, those sort of
ways
that we go about coping and continuing on with our lives. And then what death does is it just brings it home very... so that you can't deny it.
Yeah.
And then you have to open up and start healing and figuring out, you know, what all that means. And that's where the journey started.
As a matter of fact, you write in your book that that telephone call felt like a kick in the gut when you got called to tell you that he had passed.
Yeah, it's very hard to articulate the feeling of it. It's it's like if you were maybe adopted and then all of a sudden you meet your birth parent and you just recognize that that is your parent. I think that's what that call did. I just, all of a sudden, it wasn't just this man off in Vietnam or out in the distance. It was my father and he was gone and he was not coming back.
Yeah. So you also write in the book, and how profound is this? I think all of us can experience this. When the pain and suffering get bad enough, we do the only thing left to do. We ask for help. Thus began my spiritual journey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Was that hard for you to ask for help?
I think at that point, the pain was so bad, there was no alternative.
Okay. In
12-step programs, that would be, you know, like reaching your bottom. You have no place else to go except to ask for help. And the only thing I can say about that is helpful is when you are that open and you no longer know what to do, how to do it, when guidance comes, you're more receptive. And so if you're on a spiritual journey and your only prayer is, please help me, please guide me, then you're not judging, labeling, putting up barriers to the things that come into your life.
Because you find yourself wide open.
Exactly.
So where did that lead you in the beginning of this spiritual journey, some of the things you experienced, or perhaps even some of the people that you met?
In the beginning, the first thing that came was Al-Anon. That was dealing with the addiction, the disease of addiction, which is in our family makeup. And then after Al-Anon, a neighbor invited us to a Unitarian Universalist church, and friends invited me to a goddess circle. Another friend invited me to a Native American ceremony. Other friends invited me to a Buddhist meditation sangha. And it's not like I was seeking these things out. I didn't even know they existed. My background is, you know, blue collar, working class. My stepfather worked in the factory. My mom was in the cafeteria. We had no religious affiliation, and so I had not even heard of these things. They just came. And I think that's what happens when we're open, is the things that we need come, you know, and we just have to say yes and go toward it, even though it's unfamiliar and scary.
So for you, things like women's circles, Native American stuff, it wasn't even a threat because you had no prejudice towards any of that.
It wasn't a threat. It wasn't even a thought. But there was fear, and that was the fear of the unknown. So if someone said, you know, goddess circle or Native American ceremony, I'm open to it. I'm willing to say yes. But for me anyway, there's still fear just because I don't know what it is. I just have no experience with it. And, you know, it's good to recognize sometimes that we have fears of the unknown, and they don't makes sense. You just have to sort of breathe through them and move forward, even though you are nervous.
So it sounds like in the beginning of your spiritual journey, unlike maybe some others, you were on a wide open path from the very beginning of that journey. You've been open to a lot of beautiful things, a lot of different beautiful teachings and groups and religions and such.
Yes.
Because you even mention in the book, throughout the ages and across the globe, world-renowned leaders have advocated for just such a life. It's a spiritual life, including spiritual teachers such as Siddhartha, who later became the Buddha, Gandhi, Jesus, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Starhawk, Thich Nhat Hanh, Dalai Lama, all of them representing so many different religions there. But I'm guessing a lot of those people indirectly were also your teachers as well. They modeled something that you were hungry for.
Yeah, I think they model a way to be in the world that is peaceful and is loving. They model how to go through hardships in a mindful way without being self-destructive.
Yeah. My guest today is Diana Ensign. Her book is Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. I'm Richard Brendan. We're bringing love to life here on WICR. We'll have much more of this conversation. But first, a word from our sponsors.
This program is sponsored in part by The Playful Soul, an event venue, yoga studio, art gallery, and boutique for your spirit. At The Playful Soul, you'll find books, candles, essential oils, jewelry, clothing, music, and meditation aids. Located in the Broad Ripple Village, they also offer meditation groups, dream groups, and book conversations. The address is 6516 North Ferguson. Their website is theplayfulsoul.com. This WICR program is underwritten in part by Georgetown Natural Foods Market, located at 4375 Georgetown Road on Indy's west side. They carry organic produce and bulk body care products such as shampoo, lotion, soaps, and shower gel. Their kitchen serves soup, sandwiches, hot entrees, and carryout food. Plus, they have a juice bar. Georgetown Natural Foods Market, located at 4375 Georgetown Road on Indy's west side. Their website is georgetownmarket.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Richard Brendan. We're bringing love to life today with Diana Ensign. Diana is an author, writes the most amazing blogs. You can probably catch her if you're listening in the Indianapolis area in our local Nouveau magazine. She's written a lot of lead articles there. You're also an attorney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little bit. What led you into law to begin with?
Law is something I did in the past. That was... After being an English major and trying to figure out what to do with that degree, I had read To Kill a Mockingbird, and so the optimist, idealistic person that I am, I thought, law is where I should go. That's where, you know, Atticus works to change the world. And there are some wonderful attorneys out there who
yes.
actually do dedicate their lives to trying to make the world more just.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But so I'm assuming there was some, because you were a lawyer and practiced for a while. I believe that's what brought you to Indianapolis from Michigan, correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what led you to finally step out of that as a profession, as a career, and really follow your true passion, and that's writing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, law does appeal to writers. There's a lot of reading, and there's a lot of writing in the profession. It's very much a left-brain, logical type of career. You can, as I said, be very passionate and helpful in that career. For me, I think the side of me that's more poetic, more I like to think outside the box, the law is limiting to me. I'm not interested in precedent and, you know, what the books say. I'm interested in what's possible. So that's a little more of the dreamer and the visionary, and the things that you can do with writing is you're not limited by what is. You can imagine possibilities that don't exist yet.
Yeah. You talk about a number of practical tools for the journey. We'll begin to get into quite a few of them. The first one I want to talk about is the power of breath. I think for those who probably have been practicing yoga for a while or meditation, they're starting to learn that. But I think for the most part, people out there don't have a full understanding of just how powerful that is, of what breath is really all about. So you can you kind of like... break that down for us a little bit.
Certainly. Breath is extremely helpful. It's, I would say, the most powerful tool that we have, and it's also free, and it's available to us anytime we need it. And so it's like an airbag in a car. Breath is this thing between you and what you might crash up against in the world. It's this space. And in that space and in that pause, you can adjust your thoughts, your actions, your words. You can step back. You can make a different decision. So it's a very helpful tool. I'll give you one example of how powerful it can be. Many years back when my daughters were a little bit younger, we were at an outdoor concert in the summer. I think it was for the Indigo Girls. So it was very festive, very joyful, lots of activity and fun. And I left them on the blanket, and I decided to head up to the concession stand to get some ice cream bars for us and bring them back. And as I'm walking to the concession stand, in my line of vision, there is a woman, you know, mid-40s or so, and she is screaming at her child, who's about 3 or 4. And as I'm walking toward them, it is all I can see is this woman has lost it, and she is berating and yelling at this small child. And everything else disappeared. Everything around me disappeared. And all that I did is I took deep breaths, and I kept walking. And I had a balloon that another woman had been giving out that I was going to bring back. And what I did is I walked up to the child, mm-hmm. and I knelt down in front of him, and the woman is behind me. Mm-hmm. And I just knelt to his level, and I said very slowly and very quietly, "Would you like a balloon?" And he just nods, and he's got these huge crocodile tears and these huge brown eyes. And I just very slowly tied the balloon around his tiny wrist, you know, very mindfully. And then I said, "Are you okay?" You know? And he just nods. And I breathe, and I stand up, and I look at the woman, and I just nod. Do you see? And then I walk and I get the ice cream and I go back to the blanket. And when I get back to the blanket, I am shaking because that took every ounce of energy and mindfulness that I had to do that in a loving way.
Yeah.
But why it matters is what would have happened if I had said anything different to that woman? What would have happened if I had engaged her right. in that mind state? So what I did is I gave both of them a chance to breathe, just breathe. You know, it gave her a chance to step back, look around, where is she, what's going on? It gives the little boy a chance to breathe.
Yeah.
I'm modeling for the little boy and for the woman, this is how you treat children.
Yeah.
It's modeling, it's living it day in and day out, and it takes an incredible amount of self-awareness, mindfulness. It takes an incredible amount of work to be in the world and be peaceful. It's not easy. It's easier to be reactive. It's easier to lash out. It's easier to slam a door. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all lost our temper. We get frustrated, angry. Mm-hmm. That doesn't take a lot of self-reflection. That's yeah. just reacting.
Yeah.
The self-reflection takes work because mm-hmm. when we are churned up emotionally or mentally, you know, we're in like the little tornado state. We're just spinning and we're in chaos. You know, that doesn't take work. What takes work is to step back from the chaos, to slow down and to assess what's the next right thing to do here. And maybe just breathing is the thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I wish this wasn't a radio show. I wish you and I just had that conversation and you just shared that story in front of a live audience, because what I'd like to do is just pause and not say a word for a while and let it sink in. And now I'm wishing that I learned how to bring Kleenex into the studios because I keep wiping away these tears in my eyes. What you just shared was so powerful, because it really is that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of the book, we'll get to that later, you also talk about spiritual activism, but that's how our activism should be too. It should be born out of heartfelt compassion and love and not anger, as it often is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's helpful to remember it's not easy. You know, it doesn't come automatic for us. We really do need the tools. That's why I wrote the book. That's
yeah.
why all those teachers you mentioned, Thich Nhat Hanh,
mm-hmm.
Bearhart,
mm-hmm.
the Dalai Lama, you know, we need the tools and we need to practice. And
yes.
even those teachers have practices. They have meditation practices. They have prayer practices.
Yeah.
Because that is how we do the work, is we apply the tools so that we are able to work through the emotions and, you know, those reactive reflexes that we have.
Yeah, yeah. And I so agree with you. It's not easy, which is why it's not practiced often,
mm-hmm.
which is why you don't often see what you're able to do in that particular situation play out in mm-hmm. day-to-day life. Normally, a person would probably get in that lady's face, make her feel bad, not help the situation at all. And so I do agree with you. There is something powerful about creating a spiritual practice. You know, when we're talking about breath, you offer, all throughout your book, actually, this is a great workbook, a lot of tips, a lot of pointers and things. What are a few practice pointers for breath that you offer also in your book?
Well, just first of all, taking three slow, deep breaths in and out.
Yeah.
Slow and deep. Three, you can do that anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can also on your computer, you know, have something that pops up every hour and it simply says breathe.
Mm.
You know, and you can just look at that and it's a yeah. reminder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And those are things, I'm thinking now, inner state, A couple of times this week, interestingly enough, I had a few people displaying road rage driving next to me. Mm-hmm. But anytime you're caught up in the stress of even traffic, mm-hmm. breath is the easiest way to calm down.
It is. Mm-hmm. It internally calms you.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a section in your chapter on breath where you talk about a path to sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think every time we interact with other people, you know, there's always that potential for disagreements, which can then turn into conflict, as we know in our families, you know, with our children, with our spouse, with our religious communities, you know, in traffic, as you said, in grocery stores. You know, there's no shortage of opportunity to practice breathing, practice, you know, getting in touch with the emotions and calming them.
And for you, Diana, is there a more appropriate way to breathe more appropriately than when maybe some people do?
I just think it's the three slow, deep breaths.
Okay.
And being intentional about that and being aware of that.
Yeah.
Before you go to bed, you can put your hand on your stomach and you can breathe in and breathe out. That's something Thich Nhat Hanh has recommended.
Yeah. So we're talking about breath, but also using our thoughts wisely, the mind. One of the things, I collect quotes, and one of the many things I loved about your book is each chapter has the most amazing quotes. But you also quote one of my favorite teachers, and that's Yogananda in this chapter. And Yogananda said, "Develop such mental power that you can stand unshaken no matter what comes, bravely facing anything in life." Mm-hmm. What a powerful quote. But also to know that through daily practice, through, I would use the word discipline, one can get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people, when they think about Buddhism or meditation or yoga, I don't think they realize how powerful and life-changing those activities can be.
Yeah.
You know, we start to think that stress is normal and the way that we're interacting is normal, you know, flying off the handle, getting irritated.
Yeah.
You know, that's working 60 hours a week starts to feel like normal. And when you step back and you meditate and you breathe and you do some of these tools and practices, you realize, oh, that's not only not normal, it's harmful for our health. Mm-hmm. And the other great benefit is you start to understand what calm feels like. Oh, yeah. This is what calm feels like. Mm. This feels good. I can do this every day. And it's so much healthier and so much better for our children, our spouses, and the planet in general.
Yeah. I'm Richard Brendan. We're bringing love to life today with Diana Inson. Diana is a contemporary author of Daily Living Spirituality, also an attorney. We're talking about her book, Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. We'll have much more of this beautiful conversation, but first, a short break. Welcome back to the program. I'm Richard Brendan. It's a joy to have Diana Inson with us in studio today, and we're talking about her beautifully written book, Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. You've done quite a few workshops around the Midwest, I know, in leading people into these practices. That's got to be gratifying for you, too. You're a passionate wordsmith, but also you seem to really enjoy the interaction with people, helping them to get what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I like to lead the workshops because then you're actually practicing it. You're not just reading about it or listening to it. You're actually applying it.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you can go home and apply it at your job or with your family.
Yeah. Well, we've understood about the power of breath, something that people are hearing a lot of these days, and that's meditation. From your perspective and on your journey, how would you suggest a listener start a meditation practice?
Well, first of all, understand there's no right way or wrong way to start. I think just sitting and being mindful of your breathing for whatever amount of time is comfortable for you, five minutes, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can get a book out from the library that's strictly about meditation. Whatever works for you. I mean, you can walk a labyrinth. That's very meditative. So I guess my suggestion would be to try different meditation approaches and see what appeals to you. There's also online apps and online courses. Deepak has one. It's a 21-day meditation. It's free. He leads that with Oprah, and that has music in the background and a mantra.
Yeah.
So those are very pleasant and easy to do. They're not long. They're maybe 20 minutes. So. Uh-huh.
So there's a variety of ways of doing this.
Exactly.
I think some people have been under the misunderstanding that they have to sit cross-legged, straight up, and just grind through it. And yet we know now, and you're supporting that, that no, you don't have to do that. When I think of walking meditation, which is my favorite form, I do think of a Thich Nhat Hanh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thich Nhat Hanh is one of my favorite teachers. He's written the book Pieces Every Step.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, everything you do is potentially meditative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are mindful, if you are aware, if you are breathing, talking to your children, driving your car, interacting with a new person that you've just met, these are all meditative acts if you approach them that way.
Now, you brought into the studio a bowl,
and
I believe we're going to have you have it close up to the mic, but just strike that a little bit and hear the vibration of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe there's a reading from Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yes, this is a Thich Nhat Hanh reading, and I think it's really important for us to practice. So what we can do today, rather than just talking about it, we can close our eyes and just do this brief breathing in, breathing out exercise for 3 minutes. I'll ring the bell. I'll do the reading. Just relax, and we'll do this meditation together. Breathing in, I know that I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I am breathing out. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathing out, I feel solid. Breathing in, I see myself as still water. Breathing out, I reflect things as they are. Breathing in, I see myself as space. Breathing out, I feel free. Breathing in, I know that I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I am breathing out. As my in-breath grows deep, my out-breath grows slow. Breathing in makes me calm. Breathing out brings me ease. With the in-breath, I smile. With the out-breath, I release.
It's beautiful. And as you said, there's even now apps and there's things on the internet that people can literally go to and for free listen to things like this and so many others. And I, for one, as I've chosen to go deeper now than ever before, can also testify to the dramatic difference it makes in your countenance, in your presence, and how that then makes a difference in the people you interact with. Meditation, breath work are some of the few healing modalities that are available. Something else though you talk about, and I was so glad you put it in the book, because I truly believe this, and we're also coming on the holidays. Thanksgiving's coming up, and Christmas, and that is laughter is the best medicine. Sometimes I think we forget to laugh, especially the older we get, and life is so serious, and we seem to get serious too. What have you learned about the power of laughter?
I saw Desmond Tutu speak not very long ago, and that was the first thing I noticed about him. He was so joyful and fun, and he could talk about very serious topics and then laugh. And I thought, oh, that's just amazing after all he's been through. And the same with Thich Nhat Hanh. He's very peaceful, very happy, very joyful. So my grandmother was the same way. She always told jokes over the holidays and got everyone laughing. And even through hardship, she told funny stories. And I think she's a wonderful model for me that, you know, we don't have to take it all so seriously. We can breathe. you know, we can hold these things in balance, both the joy and the sorrow, and sort of walk a middle path.
Yeah, the balance is really key. I still remember when Betty Williams came on the radio program some years back. She won the Nobel Peace Prize for her work in Northern Ireland, and she was talking about how when the laureates get together, invariably, off on the side, it's His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, because they're close friends, and they're pushing each other out of a rocking chair. And she said in her Irish accent, they're like naughty little boys. I thought, but that's so true. The sages, the avatars, the gurus, they get that. Life is serious, but it's not serious at all. They walk that balance that you're talking about.
Well, it's sort of like remembering back, you know, when you're a kid and you're just having fun. And, you know, when you're sad, and when you're happy. And meanwhile, you know, the trees are there, the sun is there, and, you know, it's all just an amazing wonder. I think a lot of those people probably are in touch with, you know, that little kid part of us.
Absolutely. I learned many years ago from a couple of pastors they would use this as a metaphor, and now I do it all the time. And I probably got it back in 1979, when I'm not even sure what path I was on. But a book by Gary Zukav came out, and it must have been one of the first books on quantum physics. Of course, I didn't know it was quantum physics. I love the title, The Dancing Wu Li Masters. And Wu Li was Chinese for energy and how they vibrated, so therefore they were dancing. So another pastor friend I know who's down in Nashville, North Carolina, says, everything's a dance. And I so believe that. So in your workshops and in your book, you help people to explore their life's dance. So talk about that a little bit, what that means for you.
Well, in addition to our breath being a helpful tool, and of course our minds and awareness of our thoughts, our bodies are another wonderful tool. They give us red flags when things are not in alignment, you know, sore necks, headaches, backaches, that type of thing. And they also can help us release negative energy and whatnot when we are doing the meditative things such as Tai Chi, yoga, Qigong, Sufi dance, you know, these various healing modalities that involve the body. And like you said, I think it does work on a quantum physics level. It's, you know, all that energy, the negative energy is moving out, you're breathing, you know, things are realigning, you know, and then when you're interacting with others, you're exchanging energy. And so, yeah, your life dance and your body are wonderful ways to explore spirituality and tools that help us keep balanced.
Would you say that's even essential to do some movement in your life a little bit every day?
If it's possible, I would say yes, it's essential.
And in ways that people could find out, if there are some listeners and say, wow, where do I even find this out? What would your recommendation be? How do they look at sources, for example? Just get on the internet and Google in, like
yoga?
At
the back of my book, I have a number of resources, books that I found helpful, but certainly within the town of Indianapolis, there are a number of places you can go for Tai Chi, yoga, The Playful Soul, Teddy Linder. You can Google it. You can get on the internet. You can ask people for references. There's no shortage, I don't think, of helpful classes out there.
Yeah, and courtesy of Blog Talk with this radio show, we have people all over the world listening. So thank you once again for bringing up the book, because the book has everything they really need to know in there. And once again, your website is dianaensign.com. This book can also be found on Amazon. That's such an easy way of getting books these days. And so there's a lot of ways they can get their book, and I would encourage them to pick up a copy. I want to take a short break, and then I want to talk about a little bit more. There's so much we can cover in this book. But first, I'm Richard Brendan, and we're bringing love to life today with a gifted, gifted writer. And I was so pleased to hear earlier she's got another book in the works, perhaps next year, but we'll be having her back on for that. Dianna Ensign, and again, her website is dianaensign.com. We'll have much more of this conversation, but first, another word from our sponsors.
Richard Brendan, Bringing Love to Life, is underwritten in part by Natural Awakenings magazine. Each month, Natural Awakenings takes a practical look at the latest natural approaches to nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. The magazine also covers the products and services that support a healthy lifestyle. Natural Awakenings magazine is a free publication and can be found at most healthy lifestyle outlets. Their website is awakenindy.com.
Wellness is an active process of becoming more aware and making better choices that move you in the direction of a more successful life. Choices to eat well, move well, and think well enable your body to live well. When your spine is aligned properly, your brain and body are connected. Stillpoint Family Chiropractic is a family wellness center where we focus on your lifestyle and the impact it has on your spine, brain, and your life. Find us on Facebook at Stillpoint Family Chiropractic, or our phone number is 317-863-0365.
Richard Brendan, Bringing Love to Life, is underwritten in part by Anthony Team Realty, an affiliate of F.C. Tucker Company. Jim Anthony and his team have the resources to assist you in buying or selling a home, and have a full slate of real estate services in Indianapolis, Central Indiana, and beyond. To contact Jim and the Anthony team, their phone number is 317-844-4200 or online at anthonyteamrealty.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Richard Brendan. We're bringing love to life today with Diana Inson, and we're talking about her book, Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. And that's exactly what this book is. I found it very, very inspiring, empowering, and it's filled with tools and tips, suggestions. There's a resource list at the back of the book. This is a wonderful tool for you to have on your daily journey. But yeah, hey, we're heading into the holidays again. It's also a wonderful gift that you can give someone else. As a matter of fact, the older I get, I think that's one of the greatest gifts we can give to someone we care about, a friend, a family member, and that's a resource or a tool that's going to help them live their life more deeply and more fully. And so, Diana, you talk about symbols in this book. You also talk about creating an altar, which I found fascinating because a lot of people probably have not even thought about that. But I also want to talk about something else, and I've come to appreciate that so much in the hospice work that I've done, and that's the power of touch and how important that is. Both listening, truly being present with people, listening, but also touch, and you address that in your book as well.
Yeah, there are a number of ways touch are helpful, and as we mentioned earlier about the quantum physics, you're exchanging energy, you know, when you hold hands with someone or touch someone. I had a friend who lost his son. His son was in college and he was in a car accident. And, you know, when we got the news, we went over to their house and I just held his hand. That was all that I did. It was all that was needed in that moment. So, yeah, that's hugely important, is just to reach out to people and be there in that way when they need us.
Yeah. Retreats. People talk a lot about that, both going to a retreat center, but also something I used to do, and I'm going to try to get back into that practice, and I was pleased to see that you also write about this in your book, and that's solo retreats, just retreats for our own sake. But talk about the need, I think, for people to step back out of life and actually get away a little bit somehow.
Yeah, I think in our daily lives, it's so easy to get caught in the, you know, sort of the minutia, the chaos, the, you know, you have to pay your bills, you have to go to work, you have to do this, you have to be in your left brain, which is that logic, reasoning side that needs to be able to function, you know, in order to drive the car. You need that. It's important. It helps us do our jobs. But the right brain, the intuitive side, and our heart space is also as important, and that's not something we're necessarily encouraged in this culture to take time for. You know, we're encouraged to work 60 hours if it means more profit or promotion. You know, we're encouraged to make ourselves stressed until we're sick. You know, no one says, take a time out and just breathe, you know, go on a retreat, spend some time with your heart, find out what you need. I don't feel like we're encouraged to do that, but it's vitally important that we do so.
And do you encourage people to keep a journal? A lot of people talk about that. Some people, by the way, have a hard time doing that. Maybe they're not natural writers. What do you say to someone like that?
Well, one thing in the book that I did is I mentioned all sorts of tools. I mean, these are all things I tried that I found helpful. And I thought by putting in a variety, you know, mind, body, spirit, these different modalities that help us, if something doesn't work for you, try something else. You know, that's the 12-step, take what you like, leave the rest. Journaling for me is incredibly helpful. I'm a writer. It's a way to process my thoughts, get out the garbage, get out the junk, you know, see what it is I'm thinking that I'm not even aware that is there until I write it down sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, for other people, When I've led workshops, I always say, you know, we're going to take about 20 minutes to journal. But if you do not wish to journal, you can sit and breathe for those 20 minutes. You can meditate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, I never know really how to describe my spirituality to this day, even as a former pastor, I suppose. I pretty much borrow a line from Ziggy Marley that says, love is my religion. But I find myself embracing more and more a lot of Buddhism. And the Buddhists, for so many centuries, really have been talking about death meditation. I know Wayne Muller, in one of his books, has said, here's an affirmation you ought to say every morning. That is, quietly, slowly, I could die today. You also talk about that in your book, about teachings from death, from loss. And we started to talk a little bit about that before we started taping this interview. So what can you share with our listeners, some of the things that we can learn from death? Because death is the most democratic thing on the face of the earth. We're all going to die. And we've all lost loved ones at some point.
Yeah. It's a hard topic for us in the West to talk about. I think it's hard because it brings up emotions of sadness, of grief. You know, and sitting with emotions and feeling them is not something that comes easy for us.
Yeah.
But thinking about impermanence, and yes, we are all going to die. Our children are going to die. Our friends are going to die. It's not a pleasant thought. But you can use it in a way that's helpful if you say, you know, I just love this person and I want them to know every single day because I don't know what will happen tomorrow. And so it does, if you are mindful that we are impermanent, it does, I think, shift your priorities.
Yeah.
You know, do you really want to be working 60 hours a week or do you want more time with your children?
Yeah.
You know, and we don't always have those choices, so I don't mean to be glib about it. But if a crisis happens and you lose someone that you care about very deeply, it does shift you and it does change your priorities and it changes your life.
Yeah.
So if we can be aware of that every day, I think it does help us live a more meaningful life and one that when we reach the end of it, we say, yes, I did my best and I'm happy about the choices I made. And if I die tomorrow, I'm okay with that.
And by the way, to you, my listener, I want to encourage you not only to check out this book for its inspiration, because it will inspire you, but also as a workbook, because many of the tips, many of the inventories, right now I'm looking at something that I'm loving to read just because of my hospice background, something Diana called a death inventory that helps you ask those deep, deep questions you wouldn't ordinarily ask, given the kind of lives we lead, for you to step back, reflect on the life you're leading now, and saying, if I knew I was going to die, is this something I would want to do, you know, 6 months from now? I love the questions that you have throughout this book, because I find questions, open-ended questions, the most powerful way of getting somebody to be really in touch with their soul. And I want to quickly move on to something else, and that is, we're talking about tools for the journey. What about discovering our path? How do we find the spiritual path that's unique for us? What are some suggestions that you have?
Well, for me, as we mentioned earlier, I was just open. That was the process I used. I was just open. I asked for guidance. You know, in light of my father's death, it was sort of that, you know, on my knees, whatever comes, I'm willing to look at it.
Yeah.
For other people, you know, who aren't in crisis, you can just give that some thought. What do you need? You know, set your intention a little more mindfully. You know, I'd like to have X or Y in my life. And then where might you go to find that? If you want mindfulness, you might check out a Buddhist meditation sangha, you know, a group that gathers and meditates and see what that's like.
Yeah, yeah. We're bringing Love to Life with Diana Inson. Diana is a contemporary author of Daily Living Spirituality. We're talking about her book, Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. We've got one more segment. You won't want to miss it. I'm Richard Brendan. We'll be right back after another short break.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. It's a joy to have Diane Ince in studio with me today. I have so enjoyed reading her book, Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. But more than that, I've enjoyed working this book because it's also a workbook. Diana, I asked you to do something as a favor to me because I am one of your fans when it comes to your blogs. And you write them, what, once a month? Does that seem to be when they come out?
About once a month.
Yeah. And it was hard to choose. You sent me from. But I'd like for you, if you're comfortable in doing that in the time we have, to read your latest blog. And maybe it was because of where I was right now, maybe because of where the world is. It was entitled Everyday Mindfulness, Remembering Why We're Here. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautifully written. How about we share that with our listeners in your words?
Certainly. The quote I used to start the blog is, I celebrate myself and sing myself. For every atom belonging to me, as good belongs to you. That's Walt Whitman. Remember when you were a small child? If you lived in a place where the seasons changed, summer days likely seemed endless. Fall meant brisk winds with piles of bright leaves to toss high in the air, and winter snowstorms brought deep snow for outdoor adventures like sledding, snowball fights, and building snow forts. Regardless of the season, playing with friends and being outside were probably top priorities. Remember the things that bothered you at a young age? People who were mean, name-calling, yelling, or hitting, seeing someone not being treated fairly, and the loss of pets or loved ones. As adults, we sometimes feel overwhelmed by the minutiae in our lives, paying bills, coworker disputes, household chores, family obligations, job demands, family, church, neighborhood squabbles, minor illnesses, repairs or upgrades for the numerous gadgets we own, misunderstandings, confusion, worry, stress, and so on. It's so easy to forget what really matters and to overlook the simple things that bring us joy. Sometimes a crisis puts life in perspective for us. Other times, children, friends, or a partner remind us of the purpose we serve. Place your hand over your heart and ask, what is it I meant to do with my brief time on this planet? What have I learned? What are my dreams? When we slow down our breathing, quiet our mental chatter, and step away from our hectic schedules, we can more easily hear the gentle longings of our heart. Everyday mindfulness is one way to stay on a meaningful path rather than continually getting sidetracked by endless distractions. We can become more mindful by taking 3 deep breaths during stressful moments, paying attention to our thoughts, recognize the mental grooves we frequently visit, noticing how our body feels when we pause to simply breathe, letting go and releasing that which does not serve our well-being, saying thank you for small daily miracles. At the end of our lives, only we will know if we appreciated all that we were given. Only we will know if we accomplished our mission, which may not have anything to do with our careers or the work that pays our bills. Our true purpose might be to see better the mental blinders inhibiting our growth. Our true purpose might be to use our gifts to bring more awareness to the planet, awareness of the connection between the poisons in our food, water, air, and earth, and the diseases in our body, awareness of the connection between chronic stress and illness, awareness of the connection between inner peace and peace in the world. Our true purpose might be to heal emotional wounds and break generational cycles of violence. Our true purpose might be to practice kindness, practice forgiveness, practice peaceful living so we can share a calm presence with our families and our communities. Our true purpose might be to embrace our divine spark of inner beauty, that magnificent essence of joy, generosity, and love that resides in us all. What helps you remember why you are here? Take some time this month to play, to relax, to sing, to walk outside, to sit in the sun, to listen to music, to dance, and to laugh. Marianne Williamson says, we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. We are all meant to shine as children do. Your presence here is a gift. Listen to your heart. Listen to the wind. Listen to the birds. Listen to the soft whispers of spirit. See the world through the eyes of a small child with wonder, awe, and excitement. The universe sings its welcome to you each new day.
My guest today is Diana Ensign. Her book, Traveling Spirit, Daily Tools for Your Life's Journey. If you'd like to visit Diana online, you may do so at dianaensign.com. Diana, thank you so much for sharing the gift of you with both Derek and I here in this studio. And thank you for the gift of this book. And I am looking forward to the next one coming out as well.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
And once again, if you'd like more information on the work and the writings of Diana Ensign, visit her online at dianaensign.com. And for those of you listening in the Central Indiana area and would like to pick up a copy of her book, you can go to The Playful Soul. The Playful Soul is found on Ferguson Avenue, right here in Broad Ripple, part of the Indianapolis area. I'll have some closing thoughts, but first I'd like to go to a song. One of my favorite singer-songwriters. He's Minnesota folk singer Peter Mayer, and it's off his Heaven Below album.
Say that you stand apart, put a fence around your yard. You can build a tall rampart, guard it with a gun. You can dig yourself a moat, burn the bridge and burn the boat. It won't matter that much, you know, 'cause all the world is one. All the world is one. You can march in a big parade every Independence Day. You can raise up your own flag, sing your own anthem. It'll ring out in the air with the other anthems there. Till the winds of the earth declare, all the world is one, all the world is one. Go and ask the Buddha when he's sitting under the tree. Go ask Walt Whitman when he's looking out at the sea. Ask Alan Shepard when he's standing up on the moon, staring at that pearl of blue. Ask an atom in the breath you take, ask the water by the riverbank. Ask a strand of DNA, it's written in your blood. One life running in your veins, one life from one big bang. You can try and separate it, but all the world is one. All the world is one. Ask Annie Dillard when she's up on Tinker Creek. Ask Alan Shepard when he's standing up on the moon, staring at that pearl of blue. You can take an outbound train, try to make a getaway. You can ride off like John Wayne to the setting sun. But earthlings don't leave town, they just go round and round until they figure out all the world is one. All the world is one. All the world is one.
approaching a very special holiday for many, many people, and that's Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. When I think about Thanksgiving, it is a time to take pause and learn to be grateful for all the things in our lives. So I wanted to share a little bit about what I've gleaned regarding gratitude. You know, the heart of gratitude is about appreciating what you already have. I mean, many have said that the vibrational feeling of gratitude is at the heart of contentment. It's a returning to our natural state of joyfulness. The great Lao Tzu said, "If you look to others for fulfillment, you'll never be truly fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you'll never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you." You know, it's really about reclaiming abundance in every area of our life, reclaiming that abundance internally, loving our life and doing our life with love. I love this quote from the great mystic Meister Eckhart. He said, "If the only prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice." Well, you know, an English couple was visiting New York City for the first time, and they came with some apprehensiveness because they had been conditioned with a vision of a sordid and crime-ridden city. And their host thoughtfully took them first to the observation deck of one of the city's highest buildings so they could get a lofty overview. It was a beautiful, clear day, and they could see forever. The visitors were delighted and surprised, giving them a very positive initial reaction. And later, in a tour of the city, the man remarked that he could not forget that view from the top. They had a wonderful week-long stay and left singing the praises of, quote, "the loveliest, friendliest, and the finest place we'd ever been." All because of the initial high-level perspective. You know, that's a powerful insight to live by. Always get the view from the top. Always sit in the high watch. Before you react in negativity to people, conditions, or things, take a moment to lift your eyes unto the hills. Contemplate all the challenging, changing experiences from the highest possible point of view. Regardless of the appearances of conflicts or limitations, see all things from the awareness of the allness of life and the ever-presence of substance. And from the view from the top, you will see things creatively, leading to an attitude that is constructive and optimistic. Plato said, "A grateful mind is a great mind, which eventually attracts to itself great things." And I love what the great Mark Nepo said, who's been a frequent guest on this program. He writes, "The goal of all experience is to remove whatever might keep us from being whole. The things we learn through love and pain reduce our walls and bring our inner and outer life together. And all the while, the friction of being alive erodes whatever impediments remain. But the simplest and deepest way to make who we are at one with the world is through the kinship of gratitude. Nothing brings the worlds of spirit and earth together more quickly. To be grateful means giving thanks for more than just the things we want, but also for the things that surmount our pride and stubbornness. Sometimes the things I've wanted and worked for, if I actually received them, would have crushed me. Sometimes just giving thanks for the mystery of it all brings everything and everyone closer, the way suction pulls streams of water together. So take a chance and openly give thanks, even if you're not sure what for, and feel the plentitude of all that is living brush up against your heart. I, for one, am grateful that Diane Ensign was here on today's program, and I'm always grateful that you tune in each week. And also throughout the week, and that is today's program. Our website is richardbrendan.org. And so for engineer Derek Lohorn and production coordinator Kate Miller, I'm Richard Brendan. We're bringing love to life, one broadcast at a time.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me? Somebody to love.
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.